Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Sin is sin for a reason. It is destructive. It is deadly. Sin causes destruction. It is deceptive. It causes destruction. That's why God doesn't want us doing it, because of what it does in our lives. God's not upset at the act itself. He's upset at what the act is doing to you and others around you.
We all have areas where we struggle, and the enemy knows those areas all too well. But God knows where we are weak, and He promises in 2 Corinthians that His grace is sufficient for us and that His power is made perfect in weakness. God helps us where we are prone to sin, and He helps us to walk righteously by His power and His strength, so that others can see God working in our lives. Here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson, with 1 Samuel chapter 12, 1 through 25.
You can open up your Bibles with me to 1 Samuel chapter 12. And I want to talk to you today about the inner man. Is your inner man, your inner woman, healthy? Or are you wounded? Are you injured? We'll talk more about that here shortly. In fact, let's go ahead and pray for our Bible study, and then we'll get into it. Father, thank you again so much for your word, which the scriptures, which are breathed by you, which are accurate geographically, even scientifically and archaeologically, a lot of confirmations that these things come from real places and real people, these accounts. And if that is true, then we know we can trust it spiritually. That what we're receiving from the scriptures speak to us about who we are and what we need. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. It's possible, and I think all of us know what it's like, when you have an injury, to protect your body with that injury, right? You tweak a knee. A back especially, right? You pull your back. I pulled my back one day picking up laundry. How do you do that? All the heavy things I pick up laundry. I'm like, oh, my back. So I was thinking about this intro and the fact that you can injure your body. And when you do, you know it. There's things you can't do. Your behavior is changed because of your injury, right? That's my intro. So I'm coming to the intro, and Johnny, who led worship this morning, his team led worship this morning, he's one of our pastors on staff, was getting off the stage over here, and he was like, oh, and I could just see it in him. And I was like, what's wrong with you? And he goes, well, my back. I tweaked my back. So what'd you do? He said, deadlifts. I said, why? Why are you doing that? Why are you doing deadlifts? There comes a time when you don't do deadlifts anymore. He was like, I don't know, I was in some competition. Figures. That's how we hurt ourselves. But he was restricted. He couldn't act normally, and I could see it because of an injury. We all understand that. But do you know it's also possible to be injured in the inner man? Whether you want to call that your heart, your soul, or your spirit, the Bible says that the Word of God gets down in between the soul and the spirit. There's some division, but we don't know what it is. But I'm just going to talk about the inner man. The Bible says that God said, my people draw near to me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Means they're here with their bodies, but their inner man is closed off to God. Their inner man is not open to what God would do. And it is possible that your inner man could be injured. There's several different ways in which injuries can happen. Trauma can cause an injury to happen. Grief can cause an injury to happen. I have experienced that myself. Lost my wife. And I went through the whole grief process, the stages of grief, still to this day. My wife said to me the other day, let's watch a movie. And she had a couple suggestions. And I said, are they sad? Because I don't want to watch a sad movie. It's something that happened inside of me when Lisa died. I just don't handle sad movies the way I used to. They just really strike me. And I just, I'm like, no, I'll pass. But that tells me something. It tells me even though a lot has healed in me from those 7 years ago, there's still something inside of me that is not completely healed yet. There's still something inside of me that still feels tender and I'm still protecting. because I'm like, no, I don't want to put myself in that situation. Trauma, grief, sin can injure us. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. Divorce injures so many people, even when it's necessary. And there does come a time when divorce is necessary. A lot of times it's not, but sometimes it is. And it's such a traumatizing thing that it makes you feel worthless. It is so, I was talking to a young man who was talking about divorce and whether or not that was an option for him. And I told him, listen, even if it's necessary, it's brutal. And it is one of the most difficult things that you will go through in your entire life. And sometimes it is necessary, but it is so devastating to the inner man and the inner woman. And some of you guys are feeling the trauma from that. Maybe the trauma from something that happened to you of the way your parents treated you. Maybe an abuse of some kind. Maybe just a way of making you feel worthless where your inner man has been injured and you don't feel that you have any value at all. Now, I realize that some pastors listening to this study, I know this because I am a pastor. And sometimes when I listen to people's intro, I go, where are you going? This doesn't sound biblical to me. This sounds like psychology mumbo jumbo, right? So I wanted to give you a handful of passages to show you that I'm not talking out of my hat here. That God is a God who heals the inner man. He renews the inner man day by day. I want to give you, these are just a handful of verses. I could give you a lot more, but I don't have time. I got to cover an entire chapter. Proverbs 15:13 says, a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. A good, healthy inner man makes a cheerful countenance. But by sorrow of heart, the spirit is broken. By grief, our spirit's broken. There's something inside that breaks. It's every bit as real as a broken bone. And there are things you do because of that sorrow. There are things you do in your life that maybe you don't know why you do it. Maybe you need to ask the question, why am I doing that? Psalms 147:3 says, he heals the brokenhearted. We may, by sorrow, have a broken heart, but God heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. This kind of message was born out of me hanging out with a few older guys. They were talking about their great-grandkids. I was thinking about my grandkids. And one of them said, we live in a different time. We discipline my great-grandkids don't get disciplined. That's what they were saying. One guy said, when I take off my belt, still to this day, I scare myself. Because I'm reminded of my dad taking off his belt. Another one said, well, I had to cut my own switch. I'm there too, by the way. My dad made me go out and cut a switch from our weeping willow that was out beside our house. And they made a couple more jokes. And then one of them said, well, we're none the worse for it. And I lashed out at him. I said, I guess that depends on how bad it was, doesn't it? And here's what they did. We're all kind of laughing and we're all having fun. And when I said that, they went, it was a little over the top, and it went from being really light to really heavy, and they didn't know how to respond. Everybody was giving quick little quips to what other person was saying, and I killed the conversation. It just all died. Well, I was talking to my wife a couple days later, and I said, I don't know why I did that. And I don't know why I lashed out at those guys, because, you know, they were just expressing their opinion that what their parents had done and being strict disciplinarians didn't hurt them, probably helped them in the long run, which may very well be right. But my background was different than theirs. I had a father who was extremely abusive. I had a father who, when I was 8, 9, 10 years old, would grab me by the arm and beat me with a belt until I had bruises from the middle of my back to the bottom of my thighs, out of complete and total anger. I don't remember my father ever striking my sister, but my dad backhanded me. He backhanded me over the car seat. He backhanded me, and it comes out of the blue. As a child, you have no idea when it's come. You have no idea what's happened. All I know is one minute I'm fighting with my older sister, and the next minute I'm backhanded. To where my dad would put his arm up on the car seat and I would flinch. My father was so abusive to both me and my sister that he died when I was 13. And when he died, I remember where I was sitting. I was sitting in the hallway. I had a German Shorthair dog. We had a German Shorthair dog, and I was sitting petting. Her name was Baby. Baby. And my mom walks in the door. And I knew my dad was sick and in the hospital, and no one ever told me he was dying. But she walks in the door, and I know intuitively that he's died. I was 13 years old, but I knew intuitively. And what I said in my mind was good. What a thing. What a thing for a 13-year-old son to lose his dad and say good. What I realized when I latched out at those guys, they don't have that in their lives, but I do. And so I'm still wounded. That's what I talked to Kathy about. I said, I still got something going on in there. This is a long time ago. But there's still something about the way that my dad treated me. What's interesting is that it was normalized to me. This is the thing about abuse. It's normalized. To me, I didn't know any different. I thought this is life. This is what happens. You know, I didn't know any other household. I'm a kid. I think that this is life. This is what life is. It wasn't until I was 18 years old. I mean, I said good at 13 when my father died just because, hey, I don't have to put up with that anymore. But I didn't understand that it was so horribly wicked. I was 18 years old when it dawned on me. I guess I'd met enough other people and I'd been in enough other homes and I saw enough other dads to know that this is not what life is normally like. And I remember saying to myself, and I'm just going to tell you the way I said it in my mind. I said, my dad was a jerk. He's just a jerk. Because you don't treat people that way. Amen. Doesn't matter if they're your kids. Amen. You don't treat people that way. Amen. And if I can, I want to talk about healing the inner man. But if I can just for a moment speak to those of you that may have some abuse going on. You may be abusive to your children. Maybe not physically, but maybe sexually. Maybe emotionally. Maybe you're just making them feel worthless all the time. You, especially sexually, if you're abusing your child, you would not let anybody know. You'll hide it at all costs. And right now you may have normalized it to your child. But one day, they will know who you are. They will know who you are better than anyone else knows who you are. And if you're physically abusing your child, you better hope they don't grow up to be a pastor. Talks to thousands of people on a Sunday morning. Television, radio, letting everybody know what kind of person you are. I can tell you that I am torn over my father. I want him to be in heaven. I want to see him again. I want the best for him. I remember walking by his room when he was dying of Lou Gehrig's disease, and he was just staring at the ceiling. And I want to believe that he made his peace with God. I want to believe that in his own way, like the thief on the cross, in his own way, cried out to Jesus, and Jesus responded. I want to believe that he did. I don't have a malice towards my dad because I realize that his treating us in that way were wounds that he had in his life as well. He probably didn't even know why he was treating us the way he was treating us. He might have had his reasons. I'm going to discipline them. He just got so angry. I mean, he literally just flew off the handle and would just get so angry. But there was something broken inside my dad. Just like there are some things that are broken inside of me that need to be healed. It goes on to say here, this one you know, Psalms 23, right? He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He restores my soul. Our God is a God who restores our soul, and he leads us into right places, a right relationship with God, a right relationship with people, a right relationship with our children. He restores our soul. He leads us down the path of righteousness. Proverbs 6:32 says, whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He destroys his own soul. Sin, I don't have time to get into it this morning, but sin is sin for a reason. It is destructive. It is deadly. Sin causes destruction. It is deceptive. It causes destruction. That's why God doesn't want us doing it, because of what it does in our lives. God's not upset at the act itself. He's upset at what the act is doing to you and others around you. So sex is created by God for intimacy, for pleasure, for children. When it's used for something else, you have to ask yourself, what's it being used for? There's a New Testament passage that says, it's 1 Corinthians 6:18, it says that every sin that a man commits is outside of his body. You're committing a sin towards God, you're committing a sin towards people, you're not treating people right, you're not treating God right. But sexual sin is the sin against himself. And I think most people don't understand that verse. We don't understand, how is sexual sin a sin against myself? Doesn't make sense. Because you are wounding yourself by sin. And all sin causes wounds. All sin does. If you've ever been too harsh with your children, and then the next day felt bad about it, you felt the wound, or maybe some sexual activity of some kind, and the next day you just feel wounded, there's a wound that takes place. You are wounded by that very sin. Another passage along those lines, Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. A broken spirit is not healed easily. A broken spirit will not be healed by just ignoring it, by closing it off. It will heal like a broken leg that doesn't get care. You will feel the pain for the rest of your life from a broken leg that hasn't healed properly. David, after sinning with Bathsheba, and only the guards that went to get her, and only Joab, his commander, knew what he had done. No one else did. And he covered it up. And everybody thought it was all good. Until Nathan the prophet showed up, pointed his finger at David and said, "You're that man." The Bible says that done in secret will be shouted from the rooftops. You may have covered it up well, but God knows. God has myriads of ways of revealing things. Is that scary? It felt like I said something really scary. And he said, "You're that man." And David repented. David did what he needed to do to heal his inner man. And he said, "Don't take your Holy Spirit from me, God." And while I was silent about this, my bones grew old within me. A broken spirit dries out the bones. He says, my bones grew old within me. He knew it wasn't right between him and God, and he knew that his bones were drying out. And my encouragement today is to open up your heart, your inner man, your spirit, your soul to God. Especially us men, maybe I just don't relate enough with women at this point, but especially us guys, we always want to put on that brave face. Things okay. I'm all right. It's hard for me to tell you about my childhood, because just kind of as a man, I just want to cover it up. I don't want to tell you that. I don't want to tell you guys I was abused. I don't want to look like a victim, right? You guys relate? We want to just put on this strong face. We just want to be like, yeah, no, I'm okay. I ain't got nothing going on inside of me. That's what soldiers deal with. These are strong men and women. And they return and there's something broken and they just got to get it fixed. But they don't look for the help because they're soldiers. I'm challenging you men, as well as you gals, to open up your hearts to God. To say, come in and do a work. To examine why it is that you are involved in destructive behavior. What are you getting from it? Ultimately, what does it bring you? What do you gain? It's like nothing in the end. Some of you guys are blowing up your finances. I'm just in guys in the generic sense. Some of you guys are blowing up your finances. Some of you guys are blowing up your marriages. Some of you guys are blowing up your relationship with your children for things that don't matter, for things that in themselves are empty and will never satisfy you. And you miss out on the very thing that can satisfy you. One more verse. No, I'm done. I repeated one twice, so I've got another one on there, but it's a repeat of one earlier. I got to get through this chapter kind of quickly, but I just kind of want to set this up. Saul is now king. Children of Israel demanded a king. Not a good thing to do. God gave them a king, a capable guy. Good looking, strong, kingly. He had some background from his father. His father was successful in his family, so he knew how to run things. He'd seen his father run things, so he had some. He was, from the worldly perspective, he was a good choice. He was also equipped by God. He was given the Spirit. He was given prophecy. He was anointed by God to be king. God gave him every opportunity to succeed. And then he was reigned as king. He went out against Jabesh-Gilead. He defeated them and was crowned king at Gilgal. That's the end of chapter 11. Now Samuel, I make a lot of mistakes in calling these guys the same name. Samuel, now he wants to hand the reins over to Saul. That's what's happening in this chapter. He's handing the reins over to him. But he wants the children of Israel to know, you have sinned. And by sinning and ignoring it, you don't have any way to make things right with God. To put it in the vernacular that I've used today, they injured themselves with sin. Then they were going on like nothing was wrong. And he had to reveal to them, you guys need to take care of this. And if you do, if you make things right with God, God will go on with you. God's on your side. God loves you. God's glad he chose you. God is pleased that he's chosen you. Verse 1, as he begins this farewell speech, now Samuel said to all of Israel, indeed, I have heeded your voice in all that you have said to me and have made a king over you. Now, here is your king walking before you. And I am old and gray-headed. And look, my sons are with you. They're no longer in leadership. Remember, his sons were corrupt. My sons are with you. I have walked before you from my childhood to this day. First time I taught the life of Saul was to my youth group in 1982. I was 22 years old. I'd met the Lord at 13. I'd really gone to church my whole life. And even as a little kid, I built an altar in my room, little box I put up, and I went to the Christian bookstore and bought a bunch of trinkets, little glow-in-the-dark cross and a few other things that I put around, draped something over it, and I would kneel down before that altar that I called it, and I would pray. I was 9 or 10 years old. I was always interested in the things of God. I loved walking into church. I loved the religious feel of thinking God's here. And when I studied that when I was 22 and I met the Lord at 14, when I was taught this study, I said, 22 years old, I don't want to be Saul. We're going to see the descent of Saul. It starts next week. He takes his first step down and then it goes from there. But I want to be like Samuel. I want to serve God my entire life. Samuel wasn't perfect. His sons don't walk in his ways. I don't know if that's anything to do with Samuel or not, but he wasn't perfect, but he did serve God his entire life. And I can tell you as a pastor that I want nothing more for you than that you would serve God the rest of your life. You would be in this marathon.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you would like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evening at 6 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. and noon. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram @CalvaryTucson or Facebook @Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
I wanted to have a stronger walk with Jesus. I wanted a better understanding of the Bible, and that's why I decided to enroll at Reach College of Ministry. The Bible study methods was only 8 weeks long, but it was life-changing. Both the instructor and course material met me right where I was at and gave me new tools to have a much better grasp of Scripture. Most importantly, my relationship with Jesus grew even stronger. I'm confident your experience will be life-changing. Attend in person or online from the comfort of your own home. Go to thereachcollege.org to start your journey. That's thereachcollege.org.